Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
But when it comes to this issue of salvation and whether or not it is permanent, whether or not it is eternal salvation, it really can't be both. It can't be that no, you can't lose your salvation, but yes, you can lose your salvation. You see, that would be a contradiction. So the Bible's either saying that you can't or the Bible's saying that you can.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the Gospel of John. Join us as Pastor Brian continues his teaching on John chapter 10, verse 11 and 27 through 28, in a message titled, The Shepherd and His Sheep. Now here's Pastor Brian.
So we are his sheep, personal ownership. He knows us intimately, and finally, he gives us eternal life. He gives life to the sheep. He gives eternal life, just as a shepherd would be the one who would be responsible for the life of the sheep in the sense of their well-being and all of that. The Lord has given us life. He's given us eternal life. Now, the term eternal life, of course, it means life that never ends. But it also means life of a quality, a higher quality, or an eternal quality. So he gives us life that never ends, but it's not just life that never ends. I mean, in some cases, you think life that never ended would be torture. It would be horror. It would be misery for some people to have to go on in the life that they are in and have to go on in that state endlessly. See, Jesus doesn't merely give us life that never ends. He gives us a quality of life that is superior to anything that we could possibly conceive of or imagine. And so these are the things that the Good Shepherd does for us. Now, secondly, notice that there is a reference here to the sheep as well. And so as we look at the shepherd and also at the sheep, notice what it says, my sheep hear my voice. So we have a description of the shepherd and his relationship to the flock, and we also have a description of the sheep and their relationship with the shepherd. And so my sheep hear my voice. This is one of the characteristics of the sheep. Those who are God's people hear the voice of the Lord. We hear his voice. You know, that is something that is completely just unimaginable to people. The thought that you would hear from God. People just, they can't imagine any such thing. And of course, anytime somebody makes any reference to hearing from God, a lot of times people will say, oh, boy, you're a fanatic. You're a loony. Hearing from God. As though anybody could hear from God. Well, why couldn't you hear from God? If God is, if he created us, it's really logical to think that he would also speak to us. God does speak to us. He speaks to his sheep. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Now we hear his voice through the scriptures. The scriptures are the word of God, and as the word of God is read or as it is proclaimed, as it is taught or as it is preached, we hear the voice of the Lord. How many times have you sat and listened to the scriptures be taught and at the same time, God is speaking to you? You know he's speaking to you. You feel like you're the only one in the building. And the message is exactly for you. You're his sheep. You hear his voice. He's speaking to you. Sometimes it can even be in just the simple reading of the scriptures. I had an experience a few months back where I was at a conference, and during that conference, somebody just began to read a certain portion of scripture. They weren't commenting on it. They weren't giving a sermon or any kind of a Bible study. They were just simply reading it. And as they were reading it, it was that one of those times where I could just sense God was speaking right to me through those words that were being read. And so we hear his voice coming to us through the scripture, but we also hear his voice in a bit of a different sense. We hear it in our hearts and in our minds, as it's referred to in the scripture as that still small voice. You know, those times when you just have that sense that you know that God has told you something. That's the experience of his sheep. We hear the voice of the Lord. He speaks to us. But secondly, Jesus said, "My sheep follow me." So these are the characteristics of the sheep. They hear the voice of the shepherd and they follow the shepherd. We follow his word. We realize that his word is instruction for us. His word must be heeded by us. His word is direction for our lives. So we follow his word. We follow his leading. The Lord speaks to us through his word. He leads us by his spirit. We are followers of Jesus Christ. That's what a Christian really is. You know, today, the very term Christian has almost lost its significance, because you have so many people that refer to themselves as Christians when the fact of the matter is they're not Christians at all. You have references sometimes to, well, that's a Christian nation. And, you know, the reality is there isn't any such thing as a Christian nation. You might have had a period of time when there were large numbers of Christians in a nation and maybe their presence was affecting that nation. And so we have these kinds of references. But a Christian is a person who is personally following the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, sometimes I think it's almost better today to use different terminology. And so sometimes if somebody asks me, you know, about myself, I might even say, well, you know, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's really what a Christian is. The first place that word occurs in the scripture is in Acts 11, I think it's verse 26. And it says that the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Now, the interesting thing is this. The word disciple means literally a follower. So it was the followers of Jesus who were called Christians. So now you got a lot of people called Christians who aren't following Jesus at all. So we need to get back to the main point, and that of following the Lord. So my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. And now listen to this. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. So this is the assurance that's given to us, the Lord's sheep, that we will never perish and that there is no one that can snatch us from the Lord's hand. Now, this statement is a statement that is expressing the security of the sheep. Now, how secure am I as one of the Lord's sheep? Is there the possibility that the Lord is going to lose me? That I'm going to wander off from the flock and be lost, maybe drop off one of those sheer cliffs or get swept away in a raging river or something like that? Well, it certainly is a dangerous situation. The world that we live in is a dangerous world, and there are forces that are working against us, and there are predators that would seek to come and to destroy us. And if we were left to ourselves, we would indeed perish. But we're not left to ourselves. That's the whole point. You see, the Lord is our shepherd. And so he has guaranteed that to those that he's given eternal life, they shall never perish, and no predator, no circumstance is going to be able to alter that or to change that. And this is known, doctrinally speaking, as the security of the believer. The Bible gives us assurance. The Bible gives us a sense of security that we can rest in knowing that the Lord is going to complete what he started, that he is going to get us ultimately to where he has called us to be, and that is heaven. You know how it says in the words to Amazing Grace, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. And that's a pretty good description of life here on earth. It's full of danger, it's full of toil, it's full of snares, but yet it's that grace of God, that amazing grace of God, that is going to carry us through these things. I believe that if a person is genuinely one of the Lord's sheep, one whom he owns, one whom he knows intimately, one to whom he's given eternal life, one who hears his voice, who follows him, I believe that that person is secure eternally, that they are going to be saved ultimately, eternally, and I believe that that is what the scriptures teach. Now, there is a debate and there is some controversy, and there are certain verses that seem to imply that maybe a person could lose their salvation. But yet, this is an issue that it cannot be both. It really does have to be one or the other. It would be contradictory to say that the Bible teaches both. Now, there are other issues that the Bible does teach two seemingly different things, but in the end, they're not contradictory because we just simply can't, you know, understand them totally. The Bible teaches the sovereignty of God in salvation, but it also teaches the responsibility of man. But when it comes to this issue of salvation and whether or not it is permanent, whether or not it is eternal salvation, it really can't be both. It can't be that no, you can't lose your salvation, but yes, you can lose your salvation. You see, that would be a contradiction. So the Bible's either saying that you can't, or the Bible's saying that you can. It's not saying both things. But there are passages that they seem to say that. But here's the deal. If you look at those passages closely, I think there's a possibility that you can understand them in a slightly different way. But when you look at the passages that assure a person that their salvation is secure eternally, there is no possible way to understand them in any other way at all. There's no possible other interpretation. They're very straightforward, and the verses that we're looking at, I think, prove that. Jesus says, I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. But there are many passages that give us that same kind of assurance. And I want to take a few minutes and point some of them out to you. In Romans, the 8th chapter, if you want to flip over to Romans chapter 8 for a moment. And in the 29th verse, we have one of those statements. Listen to what it says. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now look at verse 30. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Now, predestined is very similar to being chosen or to being elected. They're more or less synonymous terms. Keep that in mind. So, whom he predestined, he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. Now listen to what the apostle's saying. Now, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are a Christian, then you have been justified. That's what happens when you put your faith in Christ. You're justified by faith. Now, what does Paul say? He says, those that he justified, he also glorified. Paul is so certain that the person who is justified by faith is going to make it to heaven, that he speaks of their glorification as having already taken place. That's hard to argue against. That's hard to get around. That's hard to try to bring another perspective against that kind of a statement. It's a pretty absolute statement. He glorified, past tense. Now, look at verse 38 of this same chapter. Paul speaking. Again, he says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Again, that, how much more convincing would a person need? Paul basically spans all of the created order. Height, depth, angels, principalities, things present, things to come, whatever the case might be, nothing, no created thing is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, over in Ephesians chapter 1, if you turn over there, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. In love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." Now look at verse 4. It says that he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. But what did he choose us to? He chose us to be holy and without blame before him. Now, is it possible that God would have chosen us to something, but yet not been able to get us there? Now, you see, remember this, God's choosing, the very fact that he chooses somebody is based on his foreknowledge. We just read that in Romans 8:29. "Whom he foreknew, he did also predestine." Remember I said predestined, choosing, election, they're synonymous. There might be slight differences, but pretty much talking about the same thing. So here's the situation. God only chooses those he foreknows. What does he know in advance? He knows those that are going to be conformed to the image of his son. So he chooses them knowing that that's their ultimate destiny. Now here's the point. If they were not going to be in that position of being holy and blameless before him, they never would have been chosen in the first place, because they were chosen based upon God's foreknowledge. You see, God chooses those that he knows are going to respond to the message and that are going to attain to the thing that he chooses them for. And so the very fact that he chose us in Christ to be holy and without blame before the foundation of the world, that to me is proof that I'm going to indeed be holy and blameless before him ultimately. Now look over in verse 13 of this same first chapter. Paul says to them, he says, "In him," speaking of Christ, "you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed," listen, "you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory." You were sealed. Now, Paul's using terminology that would be familiar with people living in the Roman world. A house owner, a wealthy merchant, or even the Roman government itself when something would be purchased, their seal would be placed upon it as a mark of ownership. Now, that particular thing that was purchased might have to travel a great distance before it arrived at the home of the one who purchased it. But all the while, as it was making its way there, that seal was there indicating ownership and guaranteeing that that particular item, whatever it was indeed the possession, was indeed the property of that person who had purchased it. So you see, Paul, that's the picture that he uses here. And what does he say? He says that the Holy Spirit, we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee. Now, that's a pretty strong word, the guarantee. If somebody says, I guarantee this, that means they're going to stand behind it. Now, if God says to you, I guarantee, you're going to get to heaven. You can rest. You're going to get to heaven. God's guaranteed it. And that is what he's done in sealing us with the Holy Spirit. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, might as well just turn over to Philippians for a moment. Paul, in speaking to the believers in Philippi, says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He who has begun, God has begun a good work in you. What does Paul say God is going to do? He's going to complete the work. You see, God doesn't start a project that he doesn't finish. Thank God for that. I mean, how many times have we as people begun projects and then lost interest at a certain point, or maybe we've run out of resources, or, you know, something's happened. We're just not able to complete the thing. And there it is, you know, partially done. And it just sits there as a reminder of our failure. But, you know, there is not any such thing in all of the created order that you could find that God has done. God finishes what he starts. And he has begun a good work in you. He's begun a good work in me. He's begun a good work in us. And Paul says he's going to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, flip over just to one more passage in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Oh, I love that. He's the author. He's also the finisher. If he were not the finisher, he would not be the author. He's not one or the other. He is both the author and the finisher of our faith. Again, he who has begun a good work is going to complete it. Now, there is, as I've already mentioned, this debate that has gone on for many, many years, centuries, actually. It's the debate over the issue of once saved, always saved.
For the month of September, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled Found Faithful by Elizabeth Skoglund. Do you need a word of encouragement? Then here's a book for you. In Found Faithful, you'll read about the trials and tribulations of eight heroes of the faith. C.S. Lewis, Charles Spurgeon, and Amy Carmichael, just to name a few. When you read Found Faithful, you'll discover that they had real struggles with physical, spiritual, and emotional hurdles. Elizabeth Skoglund helps you to find them to be real people, accessible, and thoroughly faithful to Christ. This book titled Found Faithful by Elizabeth Skoglund is our gift to say thank you for your donation to Back to Basics. We encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order this book titled Found Faithful by Elizabeth Skoglund. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the Gospel of John. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.